prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning and welcome to Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet.
Right, we're going to knock some heads together, right?
10 dumb mistakes Christians make when talking to skeptics.
That never happens. Ever.
Dumb mistakes. I've never made a dumb mistake.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry, just kidding. I made a dumb mistake today.
Right. Did you?
I make them all the time, Dave.
Well, I'm there for 90% of them, but...
stalk me?
No.
That was a dumb mistake right there.
Yeah, but honestly...
Yeah.
I mean... You know, I just came in and sat down. We've seen each other for what, maybe 10 minutes today?
Yeah.
And you haven't done anything stupid yet.
Well, not in front of you.
So that means you are doing stupid things when I'm not around?
A lot of
them.
That's
hilarious.
But today we're talking about 10 dumb mistakes Christians make when talking to skeptics. Because let's be honest, this is not about hypocritical stuff. We make dumb mistakes. Y'all make dumb mistakes.
Right.
We all make dumb mistakes. And when we talk to skeptics, we think talking to skeptics is an important part of being a Christian. We want them to know Jesus because we've experienced something awesome and we want people to know them too, Jesus too. So we're going to try to engage people about Christianity.
Right.
But
the thing is, talking to non-Christians or talking to skeptics is very ultra important. But what is more important when you're talking to these people is you need to be armed.
Yeah.
And if you're not armed, you need to let them know that going into the conversation. Look, I'm not really quite up on all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, hey, and also today we got a Bible contradiction as usual, and we got a listener question. Hopefully we'll get time for that.
But we should, right?
Yeah, we should.
We don't ever run out of time on this show.
We should. And also, come out to Revolution Church. It's in Salina, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday mornings at 9 and 11:15.
It's a good place to be.
You can also watch live online.
If you can't be there.
Just get to our website, truthrevolution.tv.
That is truthrevolution.tv.
That's right. I said, what is it? And he's like, what? What is the website address?
No, it was like, this is a trick question, right?
Nah, it was truthrevolution.tv. Right. And you can get to our live services there. So anyway, today let's jump into this mistake. Problem number one of the dumb mistakes Christians make. Problem number one. Being stupid.
Oh, wow. I covered that one right off the bat.
Not being prepared.
Not being prepared.
Okay, here's a good example. Christians, we sometimes make the awful arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin's deathbed conversion.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I've made that mistake myself.
Yeah, we often will say, hey, evolution can't be true. Darwin himself recanted of evolution on his deathbed.
And never happened.
Didn't happen.
Hmm.
Even if it did happen, it could have just been a scared old man.
Right. Covering all of his bases before he left.
It doesn't mean that his science was wrong. I'm not saying his science was right.
Right.
But just because someone recants on their deathbed doesn't mean that their life work was incorrect.
Right.
So we have to be careful about that. You know, that's an example. You got to be prepared. If you're going to put an argument or an analogy or a story or a fact out there...
Mm-hmm.
You better what, Dave?
Yeah, you better do some research.
You better know it.
Yeah.
You better do the research, and you better know what you're talking about.
Another thing is that people often say, well, evolution is just a theory.
Yes.
What do you mean evolution is just a theory? Well, so is music. Does that mean music doesn't exist?
Music theory. That's awesome. Let's play. You know, music theory tells me the chord should be D. Hey, that's just a theory.
Right.
I don't think that chord exists. No, look, in science especially, the word theory just does not denote, this is an idea but we're not sure about.
Right. It's an idea that's backed up with a lot of science.
Right. You know
it may be faulty science in some aspects, but you know, it is still something that's very solid.
Actually, I believe gravity is a theory in science, but no one's refuting that. No one's saying, well, that's just a theory.
Right.
So the theory does not mean what you think it means in science. NASA computers have calculated different positions of planets and actually found a missing day. And this lines up with Joshua's days when the sun didn't move in Joshua 10.
You're kidding me.
Bad argument.
Oh, I thought you were telling me the truth there.
No, that is not true.
I have never heard that one.
Yeah, people will say this all the time. Don't say that, Christians. It's not a good... Look, here's the deal. You got to research before you talk.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know your stuff. You got to study. If you're going to quote a Bible verse, make sure you're quoting it right. Or at least tell people this is kind of a paraphrase. If you're going to quote a study, make sure you know the study, where it came from.
Right. Well, see, I put a tweet out there today about one of our past truth shots.
Yeah.
Okay. And immediately, it's like within 30 seconds, I had somebody like it or mm-hmm. favorited my tweet. Well, it's never happened to me before, so I tried to follow this guy to see what it was. And the favorite was no longer there. It turns out this guy was an atheist.
And he accidentally favorited
my tweet because he thought it said one thing, but then when he listened to the truth chat, it said something else. Anyway, I say all that to bring us into the whole conversation that he was having with other people. And let's be honest. Non-Christians think Christians have an agenda to push.
Yeah.
And in a way, yeah, we do, because we want people to be saved. But on the other hand, Christians are like, well, you atheists, you have an agenda to push.
Oh, right.
And it's like, let's get past all that. Now let's just get down to the nuts and bolts.
Absolutely. And this comes, this really brings us into problem number two, Dave. Mm-hmm. Problem number two is considering skeptics stupid or immoral.
Right. Because that is definitely not the case. Now, there's average stupid people out there. I mean, yeah, that's
yeah, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of dumb people.
Right. And I am here to tell you that Christians and atheists make up the same amount of stupid people out there.
You said that was just a really funny quote. Dave says Christians and atheists make up the same amount of stupid.
Well, I'm just telling you, there are as many stupid Christians out there as there are stupid atheists.
Well, and really, yeah.
When I use the word stupid, that's a harsh word.
If we're trying to have a conversation with a skeptic, be it an atheist, agnostic, someone of a different religion, whatever it might be, if you just believe that they're already too dumb, if you think that they're just plain out immoral people, you're not going to, win an argument, much less win them as a person, as a human.
Right.
I mean, you cannot. Does anybody want to argue with someone who considers them stupid?
Right.
I don't want to argue with someone who thinks I'm dumb.
Right. Nobody wants to be talked down to. And if you think somebody's stupid that you're talking to, that it's eventually going to happen. You're going to say something, it's going to sound condescending,
yeah,
and then it's just going to devolve.
Matt Slick from karm.org, he says this in an article, we'll post a link to that article.
Okay.
Atheists are not categorically stupid, degenerates with no morals.
That is true.
Many of them are fine citizens, honest, caring, loving, and patient. They are, it's true. I know some atheists who are probably better people than some of the Christians I know.
Right.
And that's just a fact. That's just true. We cannot go into this thinking, oh, these degenerates, we're going to fix them. That's not what it's all about.
Hey, well, and right, the Bible even tells us that we are not the ones that do the fixing. We are just there to till the earth, plant the seed, whatever.
Yes.
The Spirit is the one that does the work in the person.
Right, and he's got a lot of work to do in me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to point at someone and say, what a degenerate, I'm going to point at myself.
I have got entirely too many skeletons in my closet to be going around pointing fingers.
So Jeff Peepo, Dave Wagner, degenerates.
Right. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Anyone want to have a conversation now? All right, but this really maybe we should have added another problem, being too degenerate yourself.
Right, there you go.
Anyway, problem number three when you're talking to skeptics about Christianity is winning the argument, not the person.
Right, and that kind of goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about, where we're there to be the tools of the Spirit, not to be the Spirit itself.
That's right. I'm reading Benjamin Franklin's autobiography right now.
Are you?
And he wasn't a Christian. He was a deist. What?
Your reading material is crazy. I can't fault you for that, because we all have our own.
Fault me for reading Benjamin Franklin's autobiography? Okay, well, anyway, I'm reading Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, and he's talking in there to a friend of his who was going to take over some big political position, and Franklin says to him, hey, just be really careful not to get in too many debates and arguments with the rest of the Congress. And the guy's like, oh, come on, you know I love to debate and argue, that's what I live for. And Franklin basically said, well, and it's true, the guy is really good at debating, and whoever debates him loses. But then Franklin says, but I don't understand why people do that, because they may win the argument, but they have not won goodwill, which would do them a lot better.
Amen.
And a lot of times when we come into these arguments about God or religion, we bring a hammer.
Right. It becomes all about slamming you down rather than winning you over.
Exactly. And if we really want people to experience Jesus like we've experienced, arguing like you're a jerk is not going to help them love Jesus.
Yeah, and you may win the argument, but as you're walking away, you're leaving a person in a heap behind you who is probably a little bit more scarred because of what you've just done, and kind of a little farther away from Christianity.
Well, yeah, as we've said on the show before, many people stay away from Christianity and churches mm-hmm. because of an emotional issue, because of something that happened to them by a church or a Christian in their past, and not because of intellectual issues. And so you've just compounded that problem. Greg Kuchel, in his book, Tactics, said, squabbling, bickering, and quarreling are not very attractive.
No, they're not.
And they rarely produce anything good. With these types of caustic disputes, I have a general rule. If anyone in the discussion gets angry, you lose.
Amen. I agree with that.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me because honestly, I'm like that guy Ben Franklin was talking to. I mm-hmm. love to debate.
Yes, you do.
And quite frankly, if someone destroys me in a debate, I smile. And you've probably seen me. Yeah. Maybe you've seen me lose a debate. I lose them and I lose them bad. And I smile and I laugh and I go, wow. That was awesome.
Right. You live for the rush.
I live yeah. for the rush of winning or losing because mm-hmm. it's like I've learned something. But as my wife points out to me, Jeff, not everybody thinks like that.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. not everybody loves to lose a debate. And so we have to be sensitive to people. You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Amen.
You know that word in there, prepared?
Mm-hmm.
It's from a Greek word that actually means attacking.
What?
It can literally mean attacking. And then that the phrase in season and out of season sounds really poetic.
Uh-huh.
Be prepared in season and out of season. Well, it actually means opportune or inopportune, like convenient or not.
Oh,
so this Bible really? Verse actually is saying, like, attack with the gospel, whether it's convenient or not.
Right. So you're saying, the Bible is saying basically that, say I'm at Walmart and I'm stuffing my car full of all the stuff that I just bought and I'm in a hurry to get home, play with my new games and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I was listening to your show. I got a question. And be like, not now. I got to get.
Right.
What you're saying is that I need to take that opportunity.
Even if it's inconvenient.
Right.
But the Bible is actually, it's saying, okay, preach the word. Mm-hmm. You need to attack, whether it's convenient or not. But then here's the cool part. It says, but do it with great patience. Mm-hmm. And careful okay. instruction.
It almost sounds militant there.
It's funny. You know? Yeah, we'll see. And I think that's why they translate this word, be prepared in season and out of season,
right.
rather than attack, whether it's convenient or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end, Paul says, yeah, but do it with great patience and careful instruction. So I think the Bible translators are trying to balance that.
Right.
But I think Paul meant it to sound kind of contradictory. Attack with patience, right. whether it's convenient or not, gently.
Right.
You know,
and that kind of follows in with the same thing what Jesus said. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff. He sent the disciples out.
I'll correct you if you're wrong.
No, you will. He sent the disciples out to be as cunning as serpents and harmless as doves.
Wise as serpents. As, mm-hmm. Yeah, cunning as serpents. And yeah, that's right. We want to be wise and cunning, but we also want to be gentle and loving. And that's why we do this. That's why we want people to know Jesus.
Right.
You know, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared. But 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer with gentleness and respect. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's a big deal. All right, let's go ahead and pause for a minute here. I just want to invite people to Revolution Church every Sunday morning. 9 and 11:15.
Don't get them mixed up like 9:15 and 11. That doesn't work. I did that for the first week. That doesn't work.
That does,
no, 9
that
and 11:15.
9 o'clock, 11:15. Get over to truthrevolution.tv as well. You know, we take donations. It takes a lot of work
mm-hmm.
and a lot of finances, money to do the show.
Yes, it does.
And so, you know, if you would consider donating, especially as we get towards the year end here, these are tax-deductible donations that go right to Revolution Church into the radio fund for this.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a difference in someone's life.
Right. And all you got to do is go to the website, truthrevolution.tv, to do that.
That's right.
Or you can just get a hold of Jeff directly.
That's right. Right at Revolution Church. So, all right. We have only gone through three of the problems.
What?
We've got seven more to do. And we've got a Bible contradiction.
All right. Let's hit the Bible contradiction coming out of the break.
Well, let's do number four first. It's really fast.
Okay.
And then we'll do the Bible contradiction.
Okay.
So hold on, guys. We're going to do a break. Then we're going to do the ad hominem problem.
Okay.
Right out of it. What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to see. All right. Right out of the break. All
sounds
right.
Funny.
TruthRevolution.tv, Revolution Church. Catch you on the other side of this break. We'll be right back with more information about the problems we make when talking to skeptics.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Is it intolerant for a religion to claim exclusivity?
In my discussions with people, one of the most common beliefs is that whatever you want to believe is true.
Let's use an analogy.
Imagine you're standing in a skyscraper 150 stories tall.
As you admire the building, the wind picks up and you feel the whole edifice sway.
Then the architect walks in and proudly displays his blueprints.
But you notice a problem. He used supports that were far too small.
A strong wind could literally topple the building you're now standing in.
And then you feel the wind blow.
Is it intolerant to suggest that everyone leave the building? Is it fanatical to say your math is wrong?
When we deal with life or death subjects, we must have the truth no matter what someone believes.
When we talk about God and life after death, wouldn't it be even more important to know the actual truth about who God is?
It's not intolerant. There is a reality that we want to know.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
10 mistakes Christians make when talking to skeptics.
All right, hang on a second.
What?
I want to say this.
What?
Ad hominem.
Good, Dave. Good.
I just wanted to, because it sounds cool. Ad hominem.
This is problem number four. All right, we've already gone through the first three problems. You know, problem number one was being stupid, not being prepared.
Right.
Problem number two was considering skeptics stupid or immoral. Mm-hmm. Problem number three was winning the argument, not the person. Problem number four is attacking ad hominemly.
Ad hominemly?
Yeah, I made that last part up.
Yeah, that's
you can't make it
you
a...
You can't put an L-I in the end.
L-Y. Yeah, well, anyway, this is a logical fallacy.
Okay? Is that what ad hominem means?
It means that you're attacking, basically, the person instead of the subject.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So if you come to... I saw this today, okay? I'm on an email list for people debate theology.
Right.
And someone posted something about the end of the world. And the guy replied back and he said, well, here's, you know, a good article from this blogger. And the guy responded, oh, he's just a stupid blogger and he doesn't have the credentials, right, and blah, blah, blah. And, well, you know, at some point it's good to say, okay, I have to put a little bit more weight on what the experts say, mm-hmm, than just the Joe Schmo. But at the same time, I can't just say, well, you're Joe Schmo, therefore you have no access to truth or reality. Right. Well,
and check this out. You know, Peter was just a fish. He was just a stupid fisherman.
Right.
You know, and what's he doing writing part of the Bible?
And he was the founder of the church.
You know,
and,
come on, man.
Right. I shouldn't say he was the founder. He was the first leader of the church, right, that Jesus founded. But nevertheless, an ad hominem attack attacks the person rather than the argument. Mm-hmm. If you tell me that, what kind of motorcycle do you have?
It's a Vulcan 900.
A Vulcan. If I say Vulcans are the best, if you say Vulcans are the best motorcycle in the world,
mm-hmm,
and I say, oh, yeah, well, you're ugly.
We would both be correct. And that's okay.
We would both be correct. You know, I just use an ad hominem attack, yeah. right? I've attacked you, not your argument. And what I'm trying to do is ignore your argument and shut you down by attacking you so that people won't listen to right. you, even though your argument may be valid.
Kind of a strong arm tactic.
Right. Yeah. And Christians, we do this sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we listen to guys like Richard Dawkins and he says something that we disagree with. And instead of logically dealing with what he said, we go, you know what? He's just a mean, nasty guy. Okay.
And he's really not. I mean, he always seems to every time that I've ever heard him, I've never heard him be angry. I've never heard, now you may have.
I'm just smiling over here.
Okay.
I've heard some anger from him probably, right. but you know, I enjoy listening to him. See, yeah. I'm the guy who likes to argue and lose. So I can't really say that Dawkins is a bad guy. I mean, but what we can't do is argue against Dawkins mm-hmm. or any atheist or anyone by addressing them with their personal problems or right. things we disagree with them personally.
Right.
That just doesn't solve anything.
And it becomes less of an argument or debate and more of just an attack.
Yeah, just an insult session. Yeah. That's right. All right, problem number five. Oh, you wanted to do a Bible contradiction before we got to the fifth problem, didn't you? All right, here we go.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks at the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
Check it out. Shall we make graven images or shall we not? Graven images are basically idols. Or things that we make to look like other things.
Polaroids.
Okay. Yeah. Exodus 24 says, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in earth below," or in the waters below, sorry. Leviticus 26:1 says pretty much the same thing. Do not make idols or set up images or a sacred stone for yourselves. And Deuteronomy 27:15. Cursed is anyone who makes an idol. Well, compare that to Exodus 25:18. Creating the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says, God said, "And make two cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover." Huh, that sounds like a graven image. 1 Kings 7:15, 16, 23, and 25. In the furnishing of Solomon's temple, Solomon cast two bronze pillars and two capitals of cast bronze to go on top of those pillars. And he made a sea of cast metal and a sea stood upon 12 bulls and so on.
So got a bunch of Bible verses saying don't make graven images, and then you have God commanding them to make graven images.
Right.
Okay.
What's going on, Jeff?
Yeah. This isn't a Bible contradiction. Shocking. I know.
Oh, God changed his mind then, right?
Well, no, actually, it wouldn't be that God changed his mind, although God could change his mind and that wouldn't be a contradiction. But you just look at D in our cracked acronym, CRACKED, and D stands for dialect. That's right.
I said it real quiet in case I was wrong.
What is the kind of language they're using here? What is God speaking like? Well, the language that he's using is descriptive language. When he says, you know, don't make a carved stone, he's not making a rule against arrowheads.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he's making, if you look at the section and the context as well, he's making rules against idolatry.
Right.
You know, I actually know some religious groups, they read that Exodus 20. Do not make for yourself an image in the form of anything. And they actually will not take photographs.
Really?
Yeah, they take that so seriously. But God wasn't talking about photographs.
Right.
He was talking about idolatry. And so you take those in context, you take the dialect that he was using, and you understand, he's talking about not being idolatrous. And then later on when he says, "I want you to make this art," it's like, oh, okay, we can make art, just not idols. I mean, and that's what he's getting at.
I think God wholly approves of art.
That's right. And so, you know, when you take it in the right way with the dialect, you understand this is not a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Ta-da.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump back into this list because I think we're running short on time.
All right. Problem number five. Sometimes we ignore their actual question.
That's true.
You know, they'll put something out there and we just ignore it. Yeah, kind of two problems. We sometimes ignore the question or we ignore the actual question.
What does that mean?
What?
Ignoring the question or ignoring the actual question.
Well, if you ask me, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? Do you want to go to McDonald's again? I could just ignore your question, not answer. Or I could go, yeah, let's go to McDonald's. But if I listen to the tone of your voice, do you want to go to McDonald's again?
Oh, okay. I see.
I'm ignoring your actual question. Your actual question was, I don't want to go to McDonald's. Can we go somewhere else?
Right.
people might be asking some question mm-hmm. when they ask you a question, and you're just giving the plain old Christian Sunday school answer.
Right.
You know, like, well, why did Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead? And you're like, mm-hmm. well, he did it to honor, you know, show his glory and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And they were really asking, like, okay, but why did Jesus change his mind? You know, and right. like, you need to know what they're really asking. Don't just ignore what they're saying.
Yeah, let's have actual conversation.
Right.
Instead of just talking to sound smart.
And this brings us to problem number six. Mm. Not asking enough questions. Okay, they have questions that we don't listen to, but sometimes we don't ask enough questions. And I don't mean questions of them. I mean questions about them and about their questions. For instance, someone says, well, I don't believe in God. Okay, well, what do you mean by God? Do you mean the Christian God? Or do you mean a deistic God? You don't believe in that. Or do you not believe in anything spiritual at all? Or do you believe in there's nothing non-material?
Right. I've known people, and I have done this myself. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in God. You're automatically on the defensive.
Right.
And then you get back on your heels and you thrust forward. And you're like, well, you're just blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it's just, let's get to know people and
yeah.
find out what are the reasons and exactly what do they mean.
Exactly. You know, why don't you believe in God? Great question. Instead of just throwing stuff out there. Well, what was your past like? What interactions did you have with Christianity? You know, how'd you come to that conclusion?
Right.
Like, understand where they're coming from. Just listen to right. them.
And in not doing so, you really miss a good opportunity.
I was having a discussion with a girl who is in the Baha'i faith. And first time I'd really ever talked to her. And I asked her, said, tell me a little bit about your religion. What do you like about it? What do you see in it mm-hmm. that's good? And she started to shake.
Really?
And I continued to ask her some questions, and then she started to cry. And then she said, I'm sorry, I'm just so used to being attacked by Christians when they ask me questions that I don't know how to deal with this properly.
Right.
She had been attacked so many times by so many Christians who just wanted her to change her mind that she mm-hmm. couldn't even deal with a real conversation without tears.
Right.
It was astonishing. And so,
and this is what some Christians do to people.
That's right. And so we just sat there for about 2 hours and I just asked her questions. We just talked. All I wanted to communicate to her was that I cared about her. You know, mm-hmm. I really wanted to know her. I wanted to understand her religion better. I do want her to get to know Jesus,
right.
but my goodness, if I don't care about her, she's not going to care what I have to say about
right.
Jesus
and
either.
Trying to convert somebody or win an argument, we are totally missing the whole reason why God put us here in the first place, and that's to love one another and to love God.
That's right.
And you don't show that kind of love when you are just totally hammering on somebody.
Yeah, that is exactly right. So, you know, we got to ask questions. Greg Kuchel, he gives a good example. He says, Christianity is basically the same as other religions. This is a question someone's asking him, mm-hmm. okay? The Christianity is basically the same as all the religions. The main similarity is love. We shouldn't tell others how to live or believe. He says, well, you can follow up with questions like this. How much have you studied other religions to compare the details? You know, why would the similarities be more important than the differences? I'm curious, what do you think Jesus' attitude on this was? You know, like he's asking good questions.
Right.
And he goes on to explain, like, it's not just questions to win, it's asking questions to clarify so you understand them. He goes on, he says, asking questions enable you to escape the charge you're twisting my words.
Amen.
A question is a request for clarification specifically so that you don't twist their words.
Right.
When I ask for a clarification question, my goal is to understand a person's views, not to distort it. We need to understand people. All right, we're going to do some more online. You got to get over to truthrevolution.tv. If you want to know more for 7, 8, 9, and 10, our final four problems that we have when dealing with skeptics.
Yeah, we can do that.
Really briefly, number 7 is calling atheism a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8 is pride. Number 9 is the Bible. And number 10 is love.
The Bible?
You need to get rid of, the Bible and love are problems.
How?
Don't worry, you got to go online to listen to figure out why, okay?
But I want to know now.
TruthRevolution.tv. Get over there and you hear the rest of this, truthrevolution.tv. And come on out to Revolution Church too, or watch live online every Sunday morning, 9 at 11:15.
Right, we'd love to have you.
And again, if you want to donate to Truth Revolution, it'd be a big help to us. Coming up to the year end, you guys have provided so much already. We so appreciate
right.
it. There are bills that we want to get paid. David and I don't take a salary from this.
Nope.
Volunteer. Every once in a while we eat pizza.
Right.
But that's
when we have
it.
Long sessions.
Really long sessions, but it's good. All right. Thanks for coming. TruthRevolution.tv. Go online for the final four dumb mistakes we make when talking to skeptics.
Truth Revolution.
And we're online.
I'm glad you're here, truthrevolution.tv. All right, the final four.
The final four, it's kind of like basketball, right?
Except better.
Lots of action.
The final four dumb things we do.
Oh, yeah.
Number seven, calling atheism a religion.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah, it's not a religion.
There are some atheists out there that do treat atheism as a religion, but by and large, most of them really aren't nut jobs.
When you say treat it as a religion, what do you mean?
Well, they treat it religiously.
Okay, but see, and that's what we have to be careful with there. Matt Slick from karm.org says this: a religion is usually defined to include belief in a deity of some sort. Atheism is non-belief in a deity. To label an atheist as a religious person is to put up a roadblock to effective communication.
Right.
It would be like someone saying to a Christian, "You believe in a mean, tyrannical being who likes to torture people." The Christian would simply roll his eyes and think that person doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
See, if we want to have a discussion with a skeptic, saying, "Well, your skepticism is a religion," doesn't help engage them in a conversation at all.
My God, is the ultimate skeptic.
Yeah. Plus, now, it's just dumb. It's not.
Yeah, and let's also cover up, or let's expose another mistake when talking about atheism as a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Atheism is not Satanism, okay? Just because someone doesn't believe in God doesn't mean they worship Satan. They totally abhor Satan and want to stay away from anything that might be a deity.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, you know, we as Christians, we believe that if you are not in the kingdom of God, then you are in the kingdom of the devil.
Right.
But that does not, and that you're actually following the Satan's ways. I used to do that as well. Mm-hmm. But it does not mean that these people are actively pursuing Satanism. Right. You know, I mean, just give me a break. You know, like, we have to be careful. That,
yes.
Jesus' golden rule, right? From Mark 12. The most important law is this one, Jesus answered. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
Amen.
If you aren't loving the atheists, if you're too busy calling their atheism a religion or treating them as dumb.
Christianity is not about being right or wrong. Christianity is about extending grace and love the way God extended it to us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross.
That's right. Blogger Skeptico, who is an atheist, as you might guess,
Skeptico,
he says this. This is a refrain I'm hearing a lot from religious apologists. Atheism is a religion. Also, its equally fallacious sibling, science is a religion and evolution is a religion. It's a sign of their desperation that the best argument they have is not that atheism is wrong or that God does exist, but that atheism is a religion too. A strange argument for a religious person to make on the face of it. Is it supposed to strengthen the atheist position or weaken the theist? In reality, it's a sign they've run out of arguments.
Right. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah, you know, he makes a good point. Like, we believe in a religion, and I'm calling your atheism a religion. What is that supposed to do? Is that supposed
to... absolutely nothing.
Like, religion's bad, and your atheism is religion, so believe in my religion. Yeah,
you got me.
That's so stupid. Why do we do that? All right, here's problem number eight. Pride.
Oh, you know what? And I deal with that.
Pride.
You know, it's human nature to be prideful. Okay, it was the original sin. You know, everybody has pride.
Yeah,
and it's just one of those things. That's why Jesus always talked about, laying down your life, laying down yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to follow him. I mean, because that's basically what he's saying. Lay aside your pride, man.
You know, Jesus was the smartest, wisest, strongest person to ever live.
Mm-hmm.
But he never really claimed those titles.
No, he did not.
And he didn't make a big deal out of it. I find that interesting.
Yes. The man was all about peace and love and
gentleness.
And he changed the world.
Too often, Christians, if you get into a discussion or debate with a skeptic, we are wrong sometimes, and we need to admit when we're wrong.
Amen. Because you know what? Admitting that you're wrong, you may have lost that argument there by admitting you're wrong, but admitting you're wrong may actually open the door for somebody else to come in and and plant some seeds.
Oh, you can admit that you lost the point, but in doing so, you might win the person.
Amen.
If they make a good point, accept it.
Right.
Atheists can make good points.
Yeah, you don't have to know everything. You're going to have questions that you don't know the answers to. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I have a friend, Andy. I've been friends with him probably since elementary school.
Wow.
And we discuss
Fourscore and
back and forth online quite a bit. And it is so fun and so interesting. He asks very thoughtful, intuitive, and intelligent questions. Mm-hmm. I usually take a few days to answer them because honestly, I don't dare assume that he's saying one thing when right. He's really trying to say another. I mean, this guy is an intelligent guy. I want to treat him with respect and I don't want to be prideful enough to just throw a cliche answer back at him.
Right.
Oh, that's easy to answer. I mean, if I'm thinking, oh, that's easy to answer, there's a chance I've misunderstood what he said.
Right. Let's just give the washed up or actually the sanitized Christian answer that we think is the answer to every question out there. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's not.
Yeah. You know, and hey, even some of my skeptic friends who aren't the most intelligent people, I'm not saying they're dumb,
right.
But they're not on this upper echelon of philosophy and science. You know what? They still have good questions too.
Oh yeah.
We still have to listen and admit when we're wrong. And all right. That's enough of that. Problem number 9 is the Bible, Dave.
What? Now, hold on. The Bible is a problem.
I'm going to get in trouble.
You're trying.
Look, quoting verses doesn't usually help skeptics.
That's true. Because if you're going to quote a verse to an atheist, I mean, well, oh, you got me there. The Bible says so.
Right.
Let's go
right.
Let's go at it logically.
I don't believe God exists. Yeah, but Jesus said God is real.
Oh,
never mind.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Totally going to change an atheist viewpoint.
It's not going to work. I have a cousin, Garrett. He was a skeptic. One day he read his Bible. It's not too long ago. He was just happened to be reading the Bible, and it hit him. Jesus is God. It just hit him, mm-hmm. And bam, totally sold out Christian now.
Really?
Just suddenly, he was totally sold out Christian just because of that.
Everything just kind of made sense.
Just from that Bible verse. Yeah. But that is not normal.
Right.
That is not normal. Using the Bible is good, it's fine, but we have to speak with love and with logic.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't just throw Bible verses at someone like, oh yeah, well the Bible says this, so just deal with it.
Right. And let's be clear. That's equal parts of love and logic,
you know,
not more of one than the other. And if you're going to err on more of one, let's err more on love, because then you're not going to be an idiot and
right.
be illogical.
Right. And I agree that the word of God is necessary, that God draws people to himself. Mm-hmm. The word of God is powerful. But if I'm smacking you upside the head with the Bible,
right.
just because I don't want to have a rational discussion with you, that's not helpful.
Right.
That's not loving.
And it's not that the Spirit isn't talking to this person. This person just isn't listening at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Let it sink in. Give it a little bit of love, man.
Right. Greg Kugel deals with this really greatly in his book, Tactics. Yeah, maybe we can link to that book just so people, okay. We've quoted it a couple times as well. Problem number 10, just loving someone. It's just, love isn't enough. Greg Kugel says, many people who are treated with sacrificial love and kindness by Christians never surrender to the Savior. People also need reasons. They need
right.
logic. They need to hear the gospel, and mm-hmm. they need God to draw them. So do this. You need to pray for them, and you need to speak with them reasonably, logically.
Right.
You can love them and be kind all you want, and you gotta do that, as we started out with. But if that's all, if all you're doing is being nice, then you're just a nice person.
Right.
You're not actually convincing them.
Just gonna lead by example.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Thanks for coming out to truthrevolution.tv. Thanks for being on the website. Hey, while you're here, consider donating.
It
takes a lot to put this show on,
oh,
and
it does.
We're glad that you're here and that you're part of our radio show. Send in some questions if you got some. You're already on the website. Might as well harass us a little bit.
Right.
So
harass Jeff. He deserves it.
So I harass Dave enough on air. Uh-huh. So to harass me, that's fine. All right. Thanks for coming. TruthRevolution.tv. Revolution Church every Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m. Love to have you. Check us out. Look at some truth shots while you're here.